Good evening, everyone. It's great to see each and every one of you back this evening. It's, again, always so great to stand before you and be able to share the Word of God with each and every one of you. Now, before I get into the lesson, I just real quick want to thank each and every one of you for just the encouragement and the friendly welcomes you all have shown me so far. You know, it's very nerve-wracking when, especially traveling by yourself to different places. I'm definitely a long way from home, but, you know, you guys made it a lot easier on me by just how welcoming you all have been and how you've all treated me as family. So I really just appreciate you all for that, and it definitely means a lot to me, and it definitely helps when I'm getting up here and preaching the Word of God to you all. So I thank you for that. And so for those who weren't here this morning, I had talked about this morning about Bible authority. And the authority that we have, that is, Bible authority is the foundation of our faith, how everything we do, the reason why we come together, the reason why we sing, pray, partake of the Lord's Supper, give thanks to God, is because of the authority that we have in the Word of God. And so I went through, talked about how we get our authority through approved examples, direct commands, and through necessary inference this morning. And so this evening, today, I'm going to be talking about the work of the church. And the work of the church, it really goes back, again, it goes back to Bible authority. The authority that we have as the church and what we're able to do and what we're able to not do. And too many times, especially now, we see through in the world, people look at the church as some type of social get-together, a lot of the world. You see this a lot nowadays and how people have, now you have all these bands, choirs in church. This is, some Church of Christ do this, and a lot of denominations, you have bands, you have these gaming, now they are adding gaming halls and stuff, eating halls, and you have all these different things making the church look as if it's some type of club, it's some type of party or some type of membership you can sign up for and have all the fun you want. And people have, the world has lost sight of what the work of the church is, what the church is able to do, and what the church isn't able to do. And that goes down to the fact that a lack of respect for the authority that God has. That's what it goes down to. People not understanding, not caring about the authority that God has given us and what we're able to do and not to do. So this morning I just want to go over what is the work of the church. What is the church able to do? And what, and within turn, that'll tell us what the church isn't able to do as well. And so there's three different works that the church has, which is evangelism, limited benevolence, and edification. Those are the three different works of the church. And this morning we're going to start off with evangelism. And if you turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 32, turn it real quick, Acts chapter 20, and verse 32. And it says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you..." Yeah, Acts 20, verse 32. Okay, yeah, I was in the right verse. "And I can now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who have been sanctified." So the word of God, that is from the word. This word, when we go look in the word of God, when we look through the Bible, this is the word. This comes from God. Everything we read about, this isn't from man. This isn't some man-made book that we're following. This comes directly from the utterance of God. Whatever, everything that is written here is from God. As we see here, it says, "To God and to the word of his grace." This right here is what we're reading, is the word of God. And we are called to continually teach that word. Continually teach, share that word with everybody. Share the word of God with everybody. Build ourselves up in the word, and not only that, but also share it with others. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you turn there, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. You go over there. It says, executing vengeance on those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, sorry about that. 1 Thessalonians 7 says, so that you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. And so, actually, let me go ahead and read a little bit more than that. Let's start in verse 2. It says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father, knowing, brothers, beloved by God, your election. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Spirit and with full assurance, just as you know what kind of man we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. And it says in verse 8, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. And so here, Paul is congratulating the church in Thessalonica and how they were going out and how they were effectively, actively sharing the word of God. And he says, so much so that we have no need to say anything. They were going out and sharing that good news of God, the word of God to each, and they're doing their part as a church and sharing that word with each and every person who might have need for it. And that is how we as the church, that is as we as the church should be. We should be actively going out, taking any chance we can, share the word of God, any chance we have, any opportunity we have, to share the word of God. Because it's not just an individual thing. It's not just my job to go out and share the word of God. It's not just Brother Richard's job, Brother Randy's job, Brother Bruce's job. It's not just an individual's job to share the word of God. This is a group thing. We all are to go out, and we all are commanded to go out and share that word of God. If we just had one person going out sharing the word of God, the word would not be getting to many people. And so we as a church need to continually go out and share that word, be ready in season and out of season to teach everybody, because there's a lot of people out there who don't know the word of God and who are turning to false teachers to, the Bible says, tickle their own ears. In fact, if you turn there to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you go ahead and turn over there, and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. And we see that so often now, where people, they don't like something in the word of God. They don't like something in the word, and what they'll do? They'll go and say, oh, don't worry about it. I'll go ahead and go to so-and-so. Oh, he's teaching more what I like. And that's just the sad truth of the thing. People, there's a lot of people like that. And I've heard many stories from my trainer back in Missouri of his experience of dealing with folks like that, where something comes up in the word of God and they don't like it, or it goes against their lifestyle or what's going on in their life. And so what they'll do, they'll flee. And they, as it says here, find teachers to tickle their ears. Oh, I like what they're teaching, so I'm going to go ahead and go to so-and-so, this church or whatnot. And that's why we need to continually make sure that we're teaching the truth, continually making sure we're sharing the word of God to others, telling them about, especially about Bible authority, what we have the authority for, what we don't have the authority for, so that when situations like that come up, people will be strengthened and won't be deceived and won't turn to those myths, as the Bible calls them. Myths, that's what they are. All those false teachings is nothing but myths. But we need to do our part as a church and share that word. And so that we can potentially lessen the casualties. Because we talked about this morning, the narrow way. And how that way is very narrow. But we can, as a church, we can lessen the casualties by us going out and sharing the word of God and doing our part. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing. As long as we are doing our part, we are doing the things that is commanded of us, we will be good to go. And so that means that we need to share the word. Actively, always seek opportunities to share that word of God. And so that's one of the first works of the church, to share the word, evangelize. And then we talk about edification. That is the next work of the church. And edification means to build up. And so what you'll see with this is a lot of people think, a lot of denominations, a lot of institutional churches will think, oh, edification, we are edifying one another by having these potlucks or having these little social get-togethers. Same thing with fellowship. That's what they think fellowship is. But that couldn't be further from the truth. As we see, and we'll go through a whole thread of what is edification in the Bible? How are we as Christians edified and built up according to the scriptures? And so let's first look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. It's in there, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. All right, it says, "For this reason, I am writing these things while absent, so that when present, I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down." So here, we see, Paul's saying, so we see in verse 10 in the beginning, "For this reason, I am writing these things while absent." What is being written? What is Paul writing here? Well, as we see, he's writing 2 Corinthians. He's writing the word of God. And so he's writing to the church in Corinth the word of God so that, and again, he goes on to say, "I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up." So what he is talking about here, that so he wants to build the church of Corinth up, is with the word. That's why he's giving them it, so that he can build them up with the word of God, and so that he won't have to go, and when he gets there, he won't have to correct them and tear them down. And so that's why he says, so that with the authority which is given, which the Lord gave for me for building up and not for tearing down. So that, again, showing that we are edified, built up through the word of God. Also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, if you turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. It says, "And he himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." So, again, "And he himself gave some as apostles." What is being given here? What is being given to build up the body of Christ? And as we see, what's being given here is the word. The word is what's being given. Not a whole potluck, not a ticket to a concert or anything, but what is being given is the word so that it can build up the body of Christ. And again, showing that we are built up through the word. Also, that's not it. That's not the only verse where we see we're built up by the word. Also Jude 20. And Jude chapter 20, Jude verse 20. Jude verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So, ask a question. How do we build ourselves up in our most holy faith? How do we build ourselves up in our faith? Well, if we look in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we see how. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. So again, we are built up by the word. That's how we as Christians are built up. We aren't built up any other way but by the word of God. That is how we, now, there's other ways we can encourage and edify each other, but when it comes to us as Christians, we are built up through the word, teaching the word to each other. That's why it's so important that when the Bible tells us, there's a reason why the Bible tells us to gather together in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. There's a reason why it tells us to assemble together so that we can edify each other, so that we can actually be face to face and build each other up, to encourage one another, keep each other strong, and to keep us moving forward. And that's why we gather. One of the reasons why it's so important we gather together, so that we can be that encouragement to one another as Christians. But that is, again, so that is the main thing, is that we are built up through the word. That is how we as Christians are built up, as we see through the scriptures. And so that is the second work of the church, is us being us having edification and building each other up. And then you have the third work of the church, which is limited benevolence. And so there's a reason why it's called limited benevolence. And so let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2 real quick. In Acts chapter 2, if you turn there, starting in verse 44. It says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were dividing them up with all, as anyone might have need, and daily devoting themselves with accordance in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. And so, here, in Acts, this is when the church was first instituted. And here in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45, what they're doing here is that sign of benevolence. And the reason why it's limited is because they're not just going out selling their property and helping out anybody on the street. They're not just helping everybody who walks by. These are helping saints. Saints in need is who are being helped, who this benevolence is going to. Those who might have need among them, those brothers in Christ who might have need. That is where that benevolence goes to. Also in Acts chapter 4, just two chapters over, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Starting in verse 32. And it says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one was saying that any of his possessions was his own, but for them, everything was common. And with great power, the apostles were bearing witness to the resurrection of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Again, this showing, and we talked about approved examples this morning and how that's how we get our authority. What we see here, this is how we get our authority for what the church is able to do concerning benevolence, and how the fact that every time we see this act of benevolence in the word, every time we see this benevolence, it's not for just anybody. It's for Christians. Needy saints, as the Bible calls them, needy saints, those who are in need. And then you see, I'm not going to go over each and every one of them for the sake of time, but you also have Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, where it talks about, where it shows saints in need being supported, being helped. Then you have Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. Romans 15. You have Romans 15, 25 through 30. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9. And there's just many other different verses just showing us that benevolence is for believers and saints. And so, not only is it for saints, not only is it for saints and, how I phrase this, it's for saints, but there's also, the reason why it's limited, let me say that. The reason why that benevolence is limited between believers and saints is because we see this in why it's limited in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. If you turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 16, it says, if any believing woman has widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. So one of the reasons why this benevolence is limited is because of the fact if there's widows in the church, if they have believing family members, they are to, as it says here, they're to take care of that widow, and so the church they can help and focus on those who don't have anybody to lean on, who don't have anybody to go to. And so that's one of the reasons why that benevolence here is limited. Second reason we see is in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, we see how the benevolence is limited here. And it says, even when we were with you, we used to command this to you. If anyone is not willing to work, neither let him eat. So if there's a Christian who going to the church looking for support, looking for that benevolence, if they are able to work and they're not working, they're lazy, that's what it is. It's laziness. If they choosing not to do the work put in the work for food to eat, to drink, the Bible clearly tells us, let them not eat. If they're not willing to put in the work themselves, if they're able to work, if they're able to help themselves and they choose not to, don't support them in their bad habits. We aren't to support those Christians in their bad habits. But if there is Christians who are able to work, who do still need that help, that's when we can go and help them and say, hey, brother, I'd like to help you. But we need to be careful with just giving that benevolence, showing that benevolence to anybody, just anybody we want to, and using church funds to show that benevolence to anybody, which a lot of congregations do, because they misunderstand the fact that benevolence is for saints only, not for just anybody we feel like helping out. That is, if we want to do that, that is the individual's work at that point. If we want to go and help others individually, we can. But as the church, we are not able to do that. And so, in fact, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, if you turn there, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. All right, it says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so, what a lot of people like to do here is, you see here, it says do good to all people. So that means the church is able to just go ahead and help any and everyone. That means the church is able to. This is why this is a whole different issue with supporting orphan homes and colleges and all of that. This is one of the reasons they'll give, is Galatians 6, verse 10. But the issue with this is that they're completely misunderstanding this. Because this is talking about when it says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, that is talking to the individual. Individually, we are able to go ahead, help orphans, help out different people if we want to out of our own pockets. But then it says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, that those who are of the household of faith, that is for the church. The church is able to then support people who are saints indeed. But anybody else who isn't a saint, if we want to help them, we do that on our own time, with our own money, with our own finances. And we don't use the church funds for those things because that's not, again, that's not the authority we have. That's not the authority we have to use for church funds. So also in James chapter 1, verse 27, you want to turn there. James chapter 1. Starting in verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And so, again, this is another verse that a lot of denominations, a lot of people that support churches, that support orphan homes and everything will use. And how, oh, look, we're able to support an orphan home with the church funds. Again, this is talking to the individual. This is individually, we're able to do these things. But the church, the funds that they are to use, the church funds that they are to use things for is helping needy saints and helping with evangelism, things that will help further the gospel and things that are pertaining to that. Outside of that, outside of needy saints, outside of things that help the church and keeping the lights on, and things that help progress the gospel outside of those things, the church is not able to do that, support those things. And that's a big issue. And me and my mom, my sister, we were in the Columbus Church of Christ. That's where we used to attend at. And we didn't, they have a whole list of finance, have a whole finance log. And they were as sound as can be. As sound as can be. If you walked in there, sat in the pews, and the went through worship service, you wouldn't see anything wrong with what they're doing. But then you look at their finances, and they're out here supporting, they're out here paying for paintball games, they're out here supporting church little get together camps and everything, and supporting things and financing things they don't have the authority for. And again, you would not know that if you just came to services every Sunday, Wednesday, and just went home and didn't do any prior research. And this is one of those things that can go under the radar if you're not doing your research, if you're not careful, and you might be unintentionally supporting these things without your knowledge of knowing. And so that's why it's so important. We understand the works of the church. That's why it's so important. We understand what limited benevolence is, why that benevolence is limited, so that we don't run into those issues of not understanding what we're able to use church funds for, what we're not able to use church funds for. That's why it's so important we continually teach what is the work of the church to others so that they'll understand. And that's why we need to stay clear of when we're unsure about. And, I've been to quite a few congregations where they weren't doing the things that they need to do. And, but me being a little bit younger, I didn't understand. My mom she did most of the blunt work of the, heavy lifting when it comes to what was telling us what was wrong, what was not good. And so she did a good job with that. But I've been seeing it myself. Congregations that don't understand the work of the church. Congregations that think the church is some family get together, some social club that you can come to every Sunday, every Wednesday, and that's not what it is. When we meet together, it's to worship God. It's to worship God, and it's to continue to edify each other and follow His word. And so, with that being said, if we're not doing that, if whatever we're doing goes against that authority that we've been given, we're wrong. And it needs to be changed. But again, too many people don't open up the word of God and don't understand or like to misinterpret scripture. And so that's why we get so many different issues like the work of the church and what it's able to do, what it's able to support. And so we just need to really be mindful of that. what the work of the church is, be mindful that we ourselves, individually, are following that authority that we have been given by God. And when we go out into the world, we need to continually be that light of the world, be that example of how we are to live our lives as Christians, and continually open up our word of God, even when we're not here. We need to continually study the word, continually open up that word, grow in our knowledge, because if we're not doing any prior studying outside of just Sunday and Wednesday, that's an issue. If we're not opening up the word of God and looking in it outside of these times, then something needs to change in our lives. And so, with that being said, it's up to us if we're going to follow that authority that God has given us. We are going to be held accountable for each and everything we do in this life. Each and everything we do, how we worship God, how we act, and how we live our lives out in the world. Everything we do will be held accountable against us. So I just encourage and hope that when that day comes, that we have done everything we can, everything according to that pattern and authority that has been given to us. So I encourage you, if you need prayer from the church, or if you need anything else, please come up to the front as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.